After a year of savage bare-knuckle fighting between Yeltsin and the ex-communist Congress, it all came to a head in September 1993. Yeltsin disbanded Congress and ordered the White House, the Congress building, closed, but the deputies barricaded themselves inside for 11 days, many without power or water. Every day saw more and more violent demonstrations. On October 3rd, the communist and anti-Yeltsin forces attacked, overran the police lines, and ran riot. They had attacked and looted the mayor's building, and were roaring off in trucks to attack the television center, which the vice president had urged them to do. A communist babushka yelled my microcassette recorder was a weapon, and I was seized by the crowd. They broke my flash, ripped my pockets, and wouldn't let me go for several minutes. On the way to the television center, I came up in the center on a hunch and found a huge crowd of Yeltsin supporters, urged out in a radio address by Prime Minister Geithner.
Yeltsin, it is freedom.
Standing in the middle of a crowd of maybe 5,000 people marching at 11:20, where Lubyanka Plashad, where across the street is the KGB building.
Red fascism, communism and plus fascism, if Yeltsin not.
Standing in an 8th-floor balcony overlooking Ostankino television tower, with the sound of gunfire in the background. Now it's been going on for about 4 hours.
At least 8 people have been killed, and the main TV channels went off the air the whole time. It's still not clear who controls the building. The attack on the headquarters was ordered by President Yeltsin's main political opponent, the Vice President Alexander Donskoy. President Yeltsin has declared a state of emergency in Moscow. He's banned rallies and demonstrations. Troops are reported to be converging on the city.
What did you see? Very many were young men, 15, 16 years old. They only had machine guns, one RPG, and one mortar.
For journalists, one of the most deadly battles in years. 3 television cameramen, British, Russian, and French, were killed.
After doing some radio reports, I stopped at Detsky Mir, Children's World Toy Store, and watched a silent, somber crowd view TV images of tank shells slamming into the White House.
This is my camera shot recording, 5:30 p.m. October 4th by the White House, which is smoking and burning out of windows near the about the third from the top floor. Big areas of the city hall are also blackened by fire. Now there are tanks. There's a large crowd of perhaps several thousand people watching. A burned out bus with all the windows broken is packed with people and children. From the ringside view. There's your bullets going both ways now. We've got gunfire from the White House. Ooh, gunfire from the lower building, the lower floor of the White House, 3rd floor apparently. Jesus. Tracer bullets going into the 3rd floor, this lower floor. Ooh, that one came close. That one came close. It's getting rather hot here. This is the sound of gunfire, apparently victory gunfire, as an APC rolls out with the Russian flag on it. Crowd cheering, the militia guarding the White House, some perhaps 200 people, 150 people have surrendered.
Rich Grant, Speaker Kozlov were in that APC on their way to Lefortovo prison.
This block here, there was one of the opposition guys looking down at us.
But he didn't dare shoot because there were guys looking at him too.
Shooting at the bridge here. Where there could be soldiers. I mean, these are bullets going right over my head towards the bridge over the Moscow River, Kalinina. They move unbelievably slow, red tracer bullets. It looks like some fireworks display, but they keep on moving. But whatever they hit, I'm sure it hurts. Tanks now moving. Tanks rolling out. And that has fallen here.
as the tanks and armored personnel carriers continue to roll out. The White House burns. I'm on the deck of the City Hall where the Communists first broke through.
Moscow returned to relative calm Wednesday after the bloody two-day revolt. The death toll continued to rise as bodies were pulled out of the White House and seriously wounded died in the hospital. Current estimates are at least 150 dead and 600 wounded. Tuesday morning, 7 government troops were killed hunting down 24 snipers who had spread through high buildings throughout the city. TASS News Agency, Moskovsky Komsomolets Magazine, Mirzhda Gorodny Hotel were attacked during Monday night. 18 soldiers died during the floor-to-floor assault on the White House, which is now a sealed-off, blackened ruin, my 6-year-old neighbor Nastya calls the Black House. Yeltsin gave a blistering TV speech last night, castigating the leaders of the revolt and declaring today a day of mourning. In an act heavy of symbolism, he has removed the marching honor guard at Lenin's tomb, a 70-year fixture of this nation and a final break with communism.
New evidence shows that the revolt came much closer to victory than previously believed. According to a Russian journalist in the Kremlin, there was panic and indecision for 6 hours on the part of Yeltsin's advisors, and Yeltsin himself was detached and paralyzed, sending his plea for support to be read by a journalist. The 3 nearby army divisions allegedly refused to help, waiting to see who emerged victorious. The 80 elite Vityaz night detachment troops that successfully defended the Ostankino Tower arrived only seconds before the attackers from the parliament. In fact, they travel in a virtual convoy to the telecenter around the Ring Road and even waved to each other. Only 25 soldiers defended the TV studio building in the bloody battle that claimed 3 TV cameramen, arrayed against 2,000 to 3,000 rebels, armed with 250 Kalashnikovs, an RPG, and a mortar. If control of the television channels had passed intact to the rebels, they could have broadcast their message to the entire country, possibly preventing the government from attacking the White House and sparking rebellion in the provinces. In that case, we might be speaking about President Rutskoy now, not prisoner Rutskoy.
What confused me about the Bolshevik Revolution was always how a tiny band of militants took over a massive country. With this October revolt, I understand, because it almost happened again. In Moscow, this is Michael Hammerschlag for Radio South Africa.